Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. That was quite interesting that we had everyone from the Wilds singing with us today, because I've actually chosen to talk to you a little bit about CIT, about what we learned in CIT. So we're going to start and actually drop my paper. Very organized tonight, in theory. All right, so we're going to start in verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So that was the core of what we were talking about. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity you've given me to get up here and give your word. I pray that you'll help me to just say what you would have me to say. You would help everyone here to get something out of it. And in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so verse 5. Keep looking at chapter 2. And beside this, giving all diligence. Now, diligence is a form of work. It's hard work. It's not easy work. It's something you have to put your all into. My coach always yells at me for this in basketball. If you don't give your all, you're not going to play. You're going to be sitting the bench. You're not going to be doing anything that game. So you either give your all or you don't give at all, because you don't have that opportunity. So as you're giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, here's the first of many definitions I'm going to give you. The definition they gave us of virtue at the Wilds is purposing to develop and display the character of Jesus for the glory of God. Now, it's interesting that they would give you that definition, because the definition of virtue is fulfilling your purpose. So, purposing to develop and display the character of Jesus for the glory of God would be your purpose. Yeah. But it also mentioned add to your faith. Now, your faith would be believing in Jesus, that he came to earth as a man, he died on the cross, and rose again 3 days later, and is living today. So adding to that virtue, purpose, adding to that your purpose. Yeah, so as I was saying, like, purpose, fulfilling your purpose. How exactly do you do that? Well, let's take an example. You have a knife. Oh, I don't really have a knife, but have a knife. The purpose of that knife is to cut something. Now, if that knife doesn't cut something, it's not fulfilling its purpose. But what does the Bible say our purpose is? The Bible says our purpose is to give glory to God. So that is our purpose, and we need to be fulfilling that purpose through our everyday lives. The second part of that definition of virtue from the Wilds was the character of Jesus. That's something you need to know. You need to get in the Bible and read more about that, but we're getting to knowledge in a minute. For the glory of God. Do it for God. Don't do it for yourself. Because doing it for yourself won't help you in the long run. You might look good, yeah, it's great, but overall, it doesn't do anything for you. Once you die, what's it do for you? It doesn't do anything for you. Once you die, you go, you talk, you see God face to face. He's going to ask you what you did for me, and you're going to not be able to tell him anything. So it's very important that you do things for God. Store up treasures in heaven. Doing things for God is one of the most important things you'll ever do in your life. All right. Reading on, verse 5. Wrong chapter again. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Now, I mentioned knowledge briefly, and that would be official definition here, knowing the person, words, and ways of Jesus Christ. Now, they also gave us a verse with each of these, and the verse for this one is 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, if we allow this to happen, it'll happen to each of us. And what happens is we're changed into God's image through the knowledge of Him. The more you hang out around someone, there's this kid in 7th and 8th grade, that I hung around a lot in class, and I started to act more like him. And let's just say it was a bad idea to start acting like him. So I got in trouble a lot during those couple of years, but thank God that's over. And so the more you hang around someone, the more you'll act like him. So the more you get to know Jesus, the more you're around his word, the more you'll get to be like him. And that's our overall goal, is to be like Jesus. So, but how do you get to know this knowledge? Well, the best way would be to read your Bible. If you don't read your Bible, there's really no other way you could get to know Jesus, unless you have other literature. But the Bible is definitely the best spot to go. You just read through the Gospels, learn about his character. He's merciful, patient, kind, all those different things. Just, he gives you examples of how to portray each of those. If you just read through the Gospels, you'll learn everything you need to know. And verse 6, and to knowledge, temperance. Now, temperance can be translated as self-control. And the definition they gave us for self-control is instantly obeying God's word in the power of God's Spirit. The verse they gave us is Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So it's instantly. There's a CD that I used to listen to a lot. It's called Sir Bernard. And that was a CD. It went through the 12 basic virtues. And one of them was obedience. And one of the things that they said in that was slow obedience is no obedience. And, well, I'm still working on that, but it's true. I know it's true, but I don't always obey it. And the reason it's true is because slow obedience, you put it off for a little while. They had a set time frame when they wanted it done, but you put it off. And suddenly they come back, they expect it to be done, and it's not done. But the reason that that's a bad thing is because what if someone was counting on you to have something done, and you decided to put it off a little bit? That could get someone under a real pickle. Instantly obeying God's commands. Well, what are God's commands? God's word. Well, God's word, how do you obey God's word? Well, you have to know what it says first. So again, back to the knowledge. You have to read it, get to know it. But one of the best spots to start would be the Ten Commandments. Because the Ten Commandments, or the law, was made so that way you would realize you're a sinner. You can realize what you shouldn't do, what you should do. And it'll just help you out a lot to just start there. Reading again, verse 6, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. Patience, this was interpreted as endurance, which is faithfully obeying God's word, even in the face of difficulty and pressure. The verse they gave us for that was James 1:2-4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So, when you're tested, it grows your faith. I think the best way to get this across would be to give an illustration. So let's just say you have a car, right? And it's like 15 years old. It doesn't run half at all. So you need a new car. So you go and you pray to God and ask him for a new car. And one day, your car just breaks down. And you have to get it towed, go into the garage, and you can't get it fixed that day. You have to wait a little while, get the parts in, or for whatever reason, it just can't be fixed. And while you're at the garage, you end up talking to this guy, and you end up inviting him to church and everything. And so then you go home that night, forget all about it. But that next day, someone shows up at your door and says, "Hey, I bought your brand new car." Just the day before, you had to go to the garage, but you had to go to the garage so that way you could talk to that guy, so you could invite him to church. It was God's plan for that to happen. And the next day, you see the same guy in church, and he gets saved. None of that would have happened if God hadn't worked out that he would get the car the next day. So, to me, I don't know about you, but that would strengthen my faith. Just seeing the way God would work in the way that it's inconvenient to you, but it all worked out for the best. All right. Verse 6 again. "And to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness." Next page. That's the wrong page. Where'd it go? Wait a second. Wait. Oh, there it is. Okay. Godliness. A wholehearted, loving devotion to God and his ways. Proverbs 9:10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." The fear of the Lord can be interpreted as a reverence or respect for the Lord. So when you have respect or reverence for someone, generally you want to obey them. Like, I have reverence and respect for my dad for more than one reason. But I want to obey him because I respect him. And I love him. That's another reason I want to obey him. And the more you gain in the knowledge, again, you want to get to know the person that you respect. So you will gain in their knowledge. The more you gain in their knowledge, the closer you become with them. Going back to knowledge, you end up being more like them. So, you see, they all intertwine. And next, flipping this page, is verse 7, "And to godliness, brotherly kindness." Brotherly kindness is affection for and service to those in the household of faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." Now, I find it interesting here that Paul is trying to give them advice as to what to do, but he actually does one of the things that they could do while trying to tell them what they could do, but he doesn't list it. "Now we exhort you." One of the things you can do is exhort other people, encourage them, give them all the encouragement they need. Like, I need an encouragement to be up here. I'm glad I was encouraged, but that's one of the things you can do. Another thing is just helping a brother that you see is having a hard time, doing something they shouldn't be doing, hanging out with the wrong crowd, just different things like that. Just help them out, talk to them, help them to realize that they should not be doing that. And comfort the feeble-minded. What does that exactly mean? Well, feeble-minded is weak-minded, but comforting feeble-minded, what does that exactly mean? Well, I think it might mean that Peter, or is it Paul? I forget which one said it, but one of the places that Paul established a church, some of the members were eating from the idols. Food was offered to idols, and then they ate the food. Well, to some people, that was considered an offense. So I think this might be saying that you wouldn't do that, sacrifice that for others, so that way they don't stumble in their faith. And be patient toward all men. Well, we all know what patience is. And sometimes it's not easy. I'll tell you that. But to the grace of God, we can all be patient toward one another. That's God's will for us too. And moving on to the last one, second part of verse 7, and brotherly kindness, charity, or love, is the way it's usually interpreted in the New Testament. Unconditional sacrifice for the purpose of meeting the spiritual needs of others. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So again, in Bible class this year, we watched a movie. We're going over soul shifts. We're supposed to be like saying how one person was like this and they changed to like this from being unsaved to saved and all that. But one of the things was the movie we watched was End of the Spear, which is a Jim Elliot movie, which he was going to the Wadani people in Africa. And one of the lines that he said, his son asked him that if he would defend himself if he was attacked. And what his response was, I can't kill them. They're not ready to die. That's unconditional love, because he fulfilled that. He let them kill him so they could live, and maybe even live eternally. That's what this is talking about. Now tonight, I just want to challenge you. What step are you on? Because these are all steps that you can take in your faith. You have to start out with virtue. You have to want it. And then once you want it, you gain the knowledge. Then once you have the knowledge, you fulfill it with self-control. Endurance, being able to do it no matter what's going on around you. And godliness, always wanting to do it. And brotherly kindness, helping out the church. Love, sacrificing for others. They all build on one another. So I just challenge you tonight, where are you? And where should you be?
All right. Well, thank you, Alan. I was hoping he was going to say that, and he said it at the end.